Well, there are just a lot of things that sometimes we experience in life, stuff we have to go through. And then in addition to that, you know, all the thoughts and feelings and emotions that come along with those things. Maybe there's some things that you do for a long time and you keep doing it and doing it and doing it. It doesn't seem to go anywhere and you don't really see any results. Or sometimes some things happen that are maybe outside of your control or even because of maybe what you chose to do and you're dealing with the consequences or the situations that come. But with that whole mix, if that's kind of the reality at times, there's obviously connected with that, there's disappointment and discouragement. You can have times of hopelessness or even depression. And I think in some way or another, all of those emotions are expressed in the Old Testament lesson for today and the Gospel lesson for today. But in the midst of all those things, you know, something shines through all the accounts, and it's God's offer of compassion. God's offer of compassion to those people who are in need. Our reference today is from this book of Lamentations, you know, a book probably rarely preached from. But Lamentations written by the prophet Jeremiah. If you look at the historical context, the Babylonians had conquered Jerusalem in round about 587 and deported most of its population. Some of the residents were left behind in just horrible and terrible conditions. And all they could see around them was just devastation. And so Lamentations are basically songs of lament, as they just kind of reflect and kind of take in the things that they have experienced. And there's Jeremiah in the middle of all of this. And he sees his part and his role that and how God was trying to use him in the midst of all of this. Jeremiah knows he had a message, but it never seemed to get through or had the effect that he desired. His preaching made him an outcast. He was the butt of jokes, probably on the corner streets. He was filled with despair and depression. And all he knew is he had a call on him from God. God said, Jeremiah, I have a call for you. I have a message for you. I have a desire and a purpose for you. And that was to alert and to warn people as to what was coming. And he faithfully did it. And he did it well. And the people were silent and unresponsive. And he's sad, he's discouraged, and he's depressed. Jeremiah saw the destruction of Jerusalem and his fellow Jews who had been captured. And it's to himself and to the people around him, it seems like they could fall no further. And they had no visible resources, nothing that they could find any more within or from outside of themselves. But it's interesting, in all of that, he's not completely crushed. And now they're at their only one last resource. And it was the first and only thing they had. And that was the Lord. And Jeremiah broke out of his gloom. How? By turning his attention. He turned his attention away from what he was seeing visibly around him and had experienced, and he turned his attention to the character of the Lord. And it was because of the Lord's great love, God's people, he knew, would survive. Because he knew God. And God's loyal love, which first made them his people, would keep them and protect them. He knew that God would do that. Because Jeremiah knew what God had done. He called them to be his people through a promise that was originally made to Abraham. He rescued them from slavery, when they were in Egypt. He kept them as he wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. His love for them had shown itself in his actions again and again and again. And it's almost like their entire history was a record of God's compassion and his love for his people. And so he says every morning, every week, every year, they had received new evidence of God's mercy. But what's the reality? The reality is they were the ones who got themselves in their situation. They had failed. They had broken faith on their part. But even so, they could rely on God. And the reason is because he doesn't break faith. God does not break faith. God still can offer compassion. And what did come through was God's love for the people of Jerusalem. Because if you stop and think about the whole scene and situation, if God didn't care about his people, if God didn't love his people, he never would have called people like Jeremiah and the prophets to call his people back. He never would have called the prophets. God wanted to restore and to renew his people who had wandered from the faith and rebelled against him and his commands. And over and over and over, we see that God is long-suffering. He's faithful to his promises. Because Jeremiah knew that, based on that, that's why Jeremiah had hope. Because he knew who God was, he knows what God had done. So even though he saw one thing, he knew something different about God. And then we look at the gospel lesson for today. And we're told that there's Jesus, and Jesus is ministering, and then he's told about a girl who's very sick and who's dying. It says she's the daughter of Jairus, who's a leader of the synagogue. There's a part of the story we didn't read this morning, but in the midst of all that, while Jesus is kind of on his way to go deal with this girl who was sick, it says Jesus stopped to help a woman. And she had a very significant medical problem with bleeding, unable to stop for years. But Jesus stopped for her. Why? He had to. Because of his compassion. Because he cares about the woman that just kind of came into his life with this significant problem. But Jesus cares about the little girl too. Then you have Jairus. And Jairus is probably saying to himself, I like the way one person put it. He says, you know, hey, Jesus, you know, don't get distracted, Jesus. You know, you pulled my number first, and you help me first, and then you can go wait on the other customer. And as this one writer says, he deals with people's needs out of order, out of the order we wish he would use. But that's just who he is, because he knows what he's kind of doing. So we need to trust that he knows what he's doing, and he'll do what he needs to do at just the right time and in the right sequence that he needs to do them. The same God sent his son into the world at just the right time to be the Savior. So he knows about our suffering. He knows about our situation. He knows what everything is going on. But he's got this. He knows what he's doing. And what's so great about the entire story is that it speaks to real people. Because here's this woman who had a problem in her life, and she knew that Jesus could help her. And the story tells us about something that we all need. It's interesting when you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, whenever you read the story of Jesus kind of ministering and healing this woman, it's always in kind of wedged in the middle of Jesus dealing with Jairus' daughter who's sick. They're always combined. And what Jesus demonstrates in this story as it's connected with the other is that what he has come to offer is for all people. It crosses all barriers, all boundaries. It's for everyone. Because all people need a healing. And then the theme really becomes clear when you compare the two people. You know, Jairus and his daughter and then the woman. You put them side by side, the people who came to Jesus. Because with Jairus, you have the fact that he's male and he is a leader of a synagogue. He has distinction. His name is given. He came to Jesus directly. Then you have the woman who's nameless. What ails her has made her ritually unclean. And so she's separated from her community. And so she can't go into the synagogue. So she has no honor. And she must sneak about and approach Jesus not directly, but from behind. So Jairus, large household, probably wealthy, man of means. This woman is destitute because of all of her medical bills. Yet they have both something in common. They both heard about Jesus. They desperately desire healing. They've run out of options. So both Jairus and the woman believe that contact with Jesus is what they need. So being male and ritually pure, holding an office and being a man of means provides no advantage in approaching Jesus. Or being female, impure and dishonored and destitute are no barriers to receiving help. There's only one thing that matters. And only one thing that works with God, with Jesus, is faith. Simple trust. I need what Jesus has. So health and wholeness and salvation are just not just for the lucky or who already have so much of everything else. Because you see, faith enables all, whether you're honored or dishonored, whether you're clean or unclean, to tap into the merciful power of Jesus that brings healing and salvation for everyone. God's offer of compassion is for all. There's no privilege, no race, group, or people that it's for. God's compassion is just for people. You see, this is the story of Christianity. This is the message of the gospel. There's a different narrative that is going through our culture and in our world today that's different than this. And that's why in that, without thinking, there is very little compassion. There is no forgiveness, there's no redemption, and no mercy. Because in that one narrative that seems to be trickling out these days is it's just basically just because maybe of your race or you are inherently a certain way or you cannot change, there's no redemption possible. And it's a 180 degree total opposite view of Scripture. Because the message of the Scriptures, the message of Jesus, the message of the gospel is completely different than that. See, the message of the gospel says all are equals before Jesus when it comes to his compassion and with the offer of salvation. Because in Christ, people can change. In Christ, people can be offered mercy and grace and know that things can be different. It's for everyone. It's for everyone. And I think that's a good way that, in a sense, for myself, I summarize what God has allowed me to experience in my ministry with others over the years. I always reflect back on being just, I feel incredibly blessed because of ministry opportunities that God has allowed me to be a part of over the years. And particularly, it's not just the ministry here. and the local ministry I've had, but in all the different places I've been able to serve with other people from Trinity, in other cities around the country, in other countries around the world. And here's been my observation, and particularly I've been in so many inner cities around the country and other parts of the world, as I've said. And one thing is a common thread. I don't care what city it was in, what part of town it was in, whatever. It never mattered what part of town we were in, people we had contact with. There was always seemed to be a similar need. Whether it people on the streets, people who worked or didn't have work. It didn't matter if it was men, women, or children. People who had homes or didn't have homes. There all seemed to be a similar need. And if we were to discover that need that they had through just conversation, that need was probably met by nothing that we could buy. What was needed, what was what we found ourselves doing, and that is just talking with people, coming alongside of people, and whether it was talking to people, listening with people, serving alongside people, helping people in different ways, and in the process, sharing some good news about who God was and what God had done for them. And in some form or fashion, it seemed to meet the need that anyone had. It didn't matter where they lived or, like I said, whatever their situation in life was, in some way or another, it always seemed to be the thing that everyone seemed to long for or crave or desire. Good news from God. That's a very powerful statement that Jeremiah writes in this third chapter of Lamentations. When he looks at himself and his situation, and I can only imagine how awful it must have been, when he says, because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed, we're not overwhelmed, we're not overtaken by this, we're not completely squashed. Why? Because his compassions never fail. You can always know that they are going to be there. And he says, you know what? It's new every morning. Every morning you wake up, every night you go to bed, every new day you wake up, God's faithfulness can be just as present for you today as it was yesterday. And you can always count on it. And he says, great is your faithfulness. Because you don't change. You don't just react to things by your feelings. It's there. And that's an amazing thing about God's compassion. It's for all people because we all need it for our lives. And that was the thing that saw him through, God's faithfulness, his compassion and his love and his grace that he needed for whatever he was experiencing that day in his life. And you know, that's an incredibly liberating thing, and that's a very freeing thing. And I want to kind of continue on this next week, because next week being the 4th of July, my observation has been particularly more recently too. It just seems like there's so many people on this quest for, we'll call it freedom or liberation or whatever it is. And I think people just struggling, wondering what that even means. We want freedom, we want to have a sense of liberty in life, but what really does that mean? And to know when we really got it or experienced it. What it is, where it's found, and the results. So since it's July 4th, we're going to use the platform of a place. So we'll go back to Boston, virtually, or kind of imagination, because there's so much things that happen there. And about two or three different occasions when I've been in Boston, which is an amazing place, there's a freedom trail that you can walk down and through. There's a lot of stops along the way that you can reflect on that really about our nation's history, but it's not going to be a history lesson. But there are things there that you can see on that freedom trail that kind of speak spiritually to us as far as what real freedom's about. So we'll kind of navigate our way down the freedom trail next Sunday, but most of all, looking for examples spiritually for us about where we can really find freedom and what it is and what a blessing it is and how we can share it. And it's probably the most appropriate way to begin our celebration of Independence Day from what God has done for us. So that's next week. And you get through that, we'll give you a root beer float afterwards. So it'll be all good. So we're grateful for God's merciful goodness to us, what we need every day. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit be with you.